Gracious and Heavenly Father, we come before you now asking for your Holy Spirit to put your blessing upon the preaching and the hearing of your word, all to the glory of Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Great things are done by many different people. And when they do those great things, we call them maybe a superstar or most valuable player, or we give them the title of celebrity. They have become famous for what they have done, what they have accomplished. Or maybe those in positions of leadership or political power, we give them titles, Mr. President. See, that's not a name, that's a title. Well, in the scriptures, Jesus is given a title. This title, according to Ephesians chapter 1, is above and higher and better than any title given to man. The title of Christ is given to Jesus. It means he is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the exalted one. He is the supreme ruler. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Thus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Philippians chapter 2, the title of Christ and Lord, they are used interchangeably for Jesus. This title is given to him because of who he is, of what he has accomplished. He has accomplished a righteousness for you. You see, the only people that go to heaven are perfect people. It's true. The only people that go to heaven are perfect. And guess what? I'm not looking at anybody in here that's perfect. So you have to have someone who has earned a perfection, a righteousness for you that he may give to you. And that person, his name is Jesus. His title is Christ. He is exalted in his obedience to God's word. He is exalted in rising from the dead. He is exalted in his ascension into heaven. He is exalted because he is sitting at the right hand of God, the Father. And he will be exalted in his return to judge the world. But right here is where we tend to get confused. The term Christ is used for the man, Jesus. See, Jesus is fully God and fully man. He is fully God and fully man. If Adam had obeyed all of God's word, then Adam would have been exalted. He would have been the Christ. But we know what happened there. So as Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says that there is another Adam, a second Adam, and he is Jesus Christ. So you see, the term Christ is used for the human nature of Jesus. It is used for the descendant of Abraham who would sit upon the throne and govern the world according to righteousness and truth. He would be a king like David. He would be a prophet like Moses. He would be a great high priest like Melchizedek and Aaron. Thus it is as a man. Underline this. It is as a man, a human being, that Jesus has been exalted. Now this exaltation does not neglect his deity. But you need to understand that his deity cannot change. His deity cannot be more exalted than what it already is. His deity does not change. Only his human nature does. I've heard people say, especially as they talk about the doctrines of election or predestination, they talk about that God is fair. God is fair. Let me tell you something. You don't want God to be fair. God is not fair. If God is fair towards you, then you're going to get what you deserve. You do not want God to be fair. You want God to be gracious and merciful and forgiving. But I've heard people speak about the doctrines of predestination or election. And the argument usually goes that God must give everybody an equal opportunity because it's unfair for God to do this. Now, this is not a biblical argument. This is a Platonic argument. A Platonic argument that says that there is this goodness, this holiness, this perfection way above God, and that God must strive for that. No. The truth is that God doesn't change. He is goodness. He is holiness. He is righteousness. He is perfection. But the human nature, while he is here on earth, the human nature of Jesus, he can change. Scriptures give us plenty of examples of the human nature of Jesus going through changes. He got hungry. His deity didn't get hungry. His humanity got hungry. He went to sleep. His deity didn't go to sleep. His humanity was tired. His humanity then, because of his perfection, and this just blows my mind, how in the world could he obey God's word in everything? In heart, in mind, in soul. I am so far from even beginning to deal with something like that. But Christ is exalted. His human nature is now exalted above all things. Oh my goodness, how wonderful this must be. His exaltation is all about his humanity. Now, he is not separated from his deity, but his deity doesn't become more exalted. Instead, it's his humanity that is exalted above all things. While he was on earth, he could change. He could get hungry. He could get sleepy. But now that he is exalted and sits at the right hand of God the Father, no hunger, no sleep, no demonic forces can touch him. Now, why is this important to know? Oh, you need to know this. Where is the day-to-day application of knowing that the humanity of Jesus is exalted far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion? Well, first off, Christ, being so highly exalted, has blessed your nature. He has blessed your humanity with his own humanity, with his own crown of glory. And he has lifted our human nature far above the angels. Now get this. The scriptures say that we as human beings are made a little lower than the angels. We are made a little lower than the angels. The angels can do things that we cannot do. They are glorified angels. But now, because The human nature of Christ is exalted above all things. And because the human nature of Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father, therefore, He has dignified our humanity, our flesh and blood, so that we are more exalted than the angels themselves. And if God has so dignified our human nature, what a shame it is that we would choose to live in sin. This is the foundation for Paul telling the Ephesians, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Live as children of light." In other words, Paul wants Christians to be what you are. Be what you are. Be what the Scriptures say you are. You know, we don't think in those categories. And we need to change. We need to see ourselves as the Scriptures say we are. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. Why do we need to do that? Well, if you plan to go to heaven, that's what you're going to be doing all day long. So you might as well start doing it right now. We are to do that because Christ, He has redeemed our bodies, and God lives in us through His Holy Spirit. The Scriptures say that the body is the temple of the Lord. Christ, through His Holy Spirit, lives in you. He is connected to you. His exaltation of His humanity is applied to you. It is in our body that we will either be glorified and love Christ, or it will be in our body that we will blaspheme Him as our mediator. Second thing, Christ being exalted at God's right hand, the Scripture says the key to governments, all governments, are laid upon Him. He governs all the affairs of the world. Ephesians chapter 1, Jesus is far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every title that is given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. This means that Jesus is controlling the universe. The kings of the earth, what's going on over in the Middle East, the kings of the earth, they're right there in the palm of His hand, the Scriptures say. And He can direct those kings, those politicians, those military people in any direction that He wants to bring about that which He has eternally decreed would come about. You know why you have a hard time with this? Because you like to be in control. You like to control your life. Right? You like to control your life. What you let into your life, what you ignore, you want to control your universe. You should be very glad that you don't. Because you've already made a mess of some of it. And if it's given over to you for complete control, you're going to destroy it and all of us with you. But the human nature of Christ, who sits at the right hand of God, it just blows my mind. This human nature of Christ, who sits at the right hand of God, holds the creation, sustains the creation by the power of His Word. And He is working all things to your good and to His glory. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, "In all things God works to the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose." Not some things, not a few things, not many things, but all things. all things work to the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Another reason you like to be in control. It's because you don't like some of the things that happen to you. And you have this fear that somehow, some way, God has overlooked your situation. And you're kind of just out there on your own. Oh Lord, where are you? Where are you? I've prayed that prayer before. I know some of you have. As I read the Psalms, I see that David did too. But let me ask you this. Do you think that this exalted man who suffered and died for you is now going to forget about you? Doesn't it just make more sense that when you put in to a project your sweat and your blood, you make sure you complete it? You don't just leave it. Jesus doesn't just leave you. Oh, it may feel that way sometime, but you have to begin to think about your situation according to what the Scriptures say and not according to how you feel about it. He will not forget you. If you read the narratives in the Scripture, there are plenty of examples. Joseph, after being in captivity years and years and years in Egypt, and then rising to the second most powerful man in Egypt, and his brothers showed up who had tried to get rid of him. Joseph says, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. See, he is able to see the hand of God in all of his sufferings, in all of these bad and difficult situations that he wished he didn't have to go through, but now he can see the hand of God in it, and he can see that it was working for his good. You ever worked on a clock? Joe, maybe you've worked on a clock. I know you've worked on a lot of things. But a clock, the wheels in the clock move in opposite directions. Doesn't make sense. They move in opposite directions so that the hands of the clock move in the correct direction. There are plenty of times that providence in your life seems to be going in the wrong direction. But in every time, it's moving in the right direction because Jesus Christ controls all things. He sits at the right hand of the Father. His humanity sits at the right hand of the Father. How can this be? I don't know. It's a mystery. But the Scriptures say it is true. The human nature of Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father in order to bring about everything God the Father has decreed. And everything the Father has decreed is for your blessing. Everything. The psalmist says, God is our refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. How do you know that God is your refuge and strength? How do you know that? How do you know that? Well, it's because the Holy Spirit is going to bring you into situations where your strength is no good. Your wisdom is no good. You have no righteousness to add to the situation. All you do is complicate it with your sin. God does that in order that you may look to Christ. The Christ the exalted human Jesus Christ. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains fall into the sea. You see, in the ancient Near East, the waves, the big waves, represented chaos. Okay? In the ancient Near East, in their writing, the waves swirling represent chaos. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, see, chaos, and though the mountains fall into the sea, chaos, and though the waters roar and foam, chaos, though the mountains shake with the swelling, chaos, yet we shall not be moved. Why is that? Because God the Son is an exalted human being. He's also divine. But my focus here this morning is on His humanity, and that humanity sits at the right hand of God. What does the psalmist say? Why should you not fear in this chaos? Well, God is in the midst of His people. The Lord of hosts is with us. There is no reason to fear because the man of God's own choosing, remember that from the hymn? The man of God's own choosing, Martin Luther, is on our side. He's a mighty fortress. We're going to sing that next week. And then lastly, Christ being exalted to the right hand of the Father assures us that He has finished the work of redemption. There ain't nothing else to add. Nothing else is to be done. He has secured your salvation. Oh, preacher, I know, but sometimes I sin and I just can't believe I do this. Jesus already knows that. Don't you think that if your past sins were already taken into account by Christ, don't you think that He's wise enough to know about your future sins and your present sins? The work of salvation is complete. The writer to the Hebrews says, therefore, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our needs, one who is holy, blameless, pure, and set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. That is speaking in reference to His humanity. We're not neglecting His deity, but these particular passages talk exclusively about His humanity. And if Christ had not fully accomplished all that we need for our salvation, then we're without hope. Scripture say that He sat down at the right hand of God. What do you do when the job is done? You sit down. You rest. Jesus, the human nature of Jesus. How can this be? Lord, we do not know. It's a mystery. But it is true that the human nature of Jesus, connected to His divine nature, sits at the right hand of God. And He meets all of our needs. He is our great high priest. He has gone into the heavens. And Jesus, the Son of God, holds us and keeps us. Your present sins, your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins never reach God the Father. God the Son gathers them in, and He has suffered on the cross for those sins. Oh, my friend, take time to think about who Jesus is. He is the Christ. Human nature and divine nature together. But His title of Christ is strictly speaking and applied to His human nature. Think about the grace and the mercy and the goodness that He has bestowed upon you and will continue to bestow upon you. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for His faithfulness. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that because of Him You will never leave us nor forsake us. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would work in us that love that knows no boundary, that we may in turn love You back. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close our worship service as we stand and sing hymn number 642. 642, Be Thou My Vision.